hammered with a mighty head cold this week, so if my voice sounds a little off, that's why. All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start on verse 1, and we're going to truck it all the way down to verse 14. All right? And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Isn't that cool? A generational blessing. Amen? Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That's interesting, isn't it? Before time began. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until this day. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Today I want to talk about a very, very important requirement that every Christian needs to have on this earth. Every Christian, not just a few, not just those in full-time ministry. I'm talking about every Christian on the face of this earth. In fact, if we are going to carry out the will of God and the calling on our life, we must possess this one important characteristic. Are you ready? That characteristic is courage. Say courage. Courage. The title of this message today, man, I feel the anointing right now. Wow. Hallelujah. The title of my message is this: Courage to Stir Up the Gift. Courage to stir up the gift. Some of y'all need to be stirred, amen? 2 Timothy 1:7 is a very popular verse in the Bible that's used a lot. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, most of us know it so well that we can just quote it by memory, right? But what does that verse really mean, right? I believe it has a deeper meaning than what we even thought about. And as I studied this, I found out it has deeper meaning. If you look up the Greek word in that verse that's translated fear, you will find out that fear means this, ready? It's not just some low-lying emotion of fear. It literally means this: cowardice or timid. Cowardice or timid. Those two words, when I was studying this, it shed some light on this popular verse from a totally different perspective than I have ever seen it before. And I think it's going to mean the same thing to you as well. And that's why the Holy Spirit brought it up to me. You know, it's just easy to quote a Bible verse, isn't it? Without even really thinking about the deeper meaning behind it. Now, I never thought about, when I read this verse, I never thought about those two words in connection to that verse. I just, like I said, I just kind of read it as fear. Just the basic emotion of fear. Just a very shallow understanding of it. See, we in the body of Christ, we got to go beyond the shallow surface. Amen? Because there's so much gold. There's so much, so many riches in the Word of God that we can dig into. Amen? So listen to this. I'm going to give you some definitions, all right? The word coward is defined as this: a person that lacks courage to do or to endure dangerous or unpleasant things. All right? Cowardice is defined as this: a lack of bravery. Now, what's bravery defined as? Bravery is defined as courageous behavior or character. Now, brave is defined as enduring or facing unpleasant conditions. Are you ready for this? Without showing fear. Say showing fear. All right, now this is getting important now. Now, the word timid, remember, fear, all right, in that verse literally means cowardice or timid or timidity. The word timid is defined as this: as showing a lack of courage or confidence, or this, are you ready? Easily frightened. The key is easily frightened, all right? So both words here, cowardice and timid, they reveal to us that there is some kind of a holding back. Say holding back. Or the idea of a Christian not being fully in. They're not all in. They're not giving their all to their calling and to their gifts. They're, say, holding back. They're holding back. We're holding back. That's the fear that this scripture's talking about. It's not just the shallow part. No, it's saying you're holding back. You're not allowing yourself to be all in to the calling and purpose of God on your life. They're not allowing that calling and the gifts, you could say it this way, to operate fully through them, all right? There's that holding back of actions. There's the holding back of actions of fear, cowardice, and timidity. Now, courage, listen to this. Courage is defined as this: the ability to do something that frightens someone in the strength, in the face of pain or grief. Courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens someone in the face of pain or grief or a challenge. So I want you to notice this word courage has something to do with action being taken. If you got courage, there's always going to be action to back it up. Amen? Now, In Joshua 1:9, God said these words. He said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good what? Courage. Yep. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's a powerful verse, isn't it? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed. All right, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, the Hebrew word that's translated dismayed, this is important. Listen to this. The Hebrew word that's translated dismayed in Joshua 1:9 means this: to be emotionally broken, to be emotionally shattered or terrified. Listen to this. God is telling Joshua and us in that verse, He's telling us to maintain a sound mind that is focused on Him and not the circumstances that would cause us to give in to fear, to not speak and act on God's behalf. Think about that. Isn't that powerful? He's telling us, let me say it again. The Hebrew word translated dismayed means to be emotionally broken or shattered, like your soul is shattered from the fear, from something that would try to hold you back from fulfilling the will of God in your life. So in other words, what he's saying is this: don't allow fear to emotionally, are you ready for this? Don't allow fear to emotionally break you. Come on, somebody. Don't let fear emotionally break you. What does that mean? It means don't let it break your will to depart from your God-given mission on this earth. That's literally what it's talking about. Don't let that fear break you. Amen? So this is what we must understand about courage. Are you ready for this? This is going to set a lot of Christians free that hear this. Are you ready? Because a lot of Christians think, well, I'm experiencing fear, so I must be less of a Christian. Listen to me. This is what you need to understand about courage. Are you ready? It is not the absence of fear, but rather it's the willingness to act and to speak in obedience to God's calling and purposes and relying on His strength, His ability, His power, and guidance. Are you ready for this? In the face of fear. How many of you, have you ever felt fear before in your life and you felt defeated? You're like, I shouldn't be feeling this right now. I'm sorry, but listen, all of the accounts in the Word of God where there was a tough situation, they felt fear. Listen, are you ready? They didn't let it break their will to pull back. They had the courage to move on, to charge forward. Amen? All right, now, so in Joshua 1:9, where God tells Joshua, do not be afraid, literally means don't allow fear. Here's what it means. Don't allow that fear to be the greater influence over you than your courage to press through it anyways. It's all about influence. Say influence. What are you allowing to influence you in your life? Are you allowing that fear to influence your actions and your words? Or are you having courage that allows you to push past the fear? Amen? Are you all awake out there this morning? You all have a rough night last night? Were you all partying or something? What's going on here? Listen to this. As Christians, we need to understand this truth. We are not a bad Christian or a failure just because we feel or experience fear on the inside. No, we are called to overlook that fear. We're called to go beyond that fear and obey God despite that fear on the inside. Amen? Faith is trusting God in the midst of the attack of fear that's coming against us. Amen? That is the power that the Holy Spirit has given us. Hallelujah. Now, so when we override, say override. I like that feeling. I like that word because that means that you can experience something negative, but you can, come on, override it. We need to override that fear in our life. When we override those feelings of fear and choose to have courage in the face of fear, that is when, are you ready for this? That is when the Holy Spirit teams up with us to do the miraculous in our life. You notice that? Anywhere where there is a miracle, there was a problem. And that's when the person had the courage to stay on God's side, the courage to obey God in the midst of it, that's when the miraculous broke out. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's looking to team up with you and I today. He's saying this, you know what? You're going to face situations in your life where there is fear coming against you, but don't give place to it. Have the courage to press through that thing, and God's saying, watch what I do in that situation. Now, let's take a look at 2 Timothy 1:6-7 again, and I want to pull out some more points, okay? 2 Timothy 1:6-7. And it says, therefore, I remind you, say remind. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Amen. The battle gets hard out here outside of these four walls. Amen. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. So God's not saying you're never going to experience fear. He's just saying this, it's not of me. Do you notice that in that verse? It doesn't mean you're never going to experience it. He's just saying, just know when that fear comes that's going to try to get you to not obey my voice, it's not me. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, told Timothy. Who is Timothy? Timothy was a young leader in the body of Christ. He was a pastor of a church, okay? A young pastor. And he was told this, to stir up the gift of God that was in him, right? From the laying on of Paul's hands. So obviously we know Paul laid hands on him and something happened, right? The laying on of hands is a powerful thing, right? What is the gift? What is that gift that he's talking about? You ready for this? The Holy Spirit baptism. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to him. Acts 2:38 refers to the Holy Spirit as a gift. Say gift. Yes. Now, it's interesting that the word stir is used in that verse. Let's go deeper. Amen? But it's not what you think stirring means. It's not like a bowl of, you know, a pot of soup that you're stirring. Hello, somebody, right? It's not talking about that kind of a stirring. The Greek word, oh, I love word studies. They're so good. Amen? I mean, it just goes deeper, okay? The Greek word that's translated stir literally means this. Ready? To rekindle or to kindle anew, like to rekindle, about, it's talking about like rekindling a flame of fire on the inside of you. Say fire. Listen to this. It means to stir up the fire or fan the flame of the fire on the inside of you. It's related to the word igniting on the inside of someone. Igniting a fire, to fan the flame. And it's talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. All right? It's talking about making that flame that's just small right now. It's saying fan that thing so it gets bigger and hotter. Amen? That's the stirring that this is talking about. It's not talking about like this. You're not churning butter. You're not Amish. Come on, somebody. Right? Listen to this. In a metaphorical sense, y'all got a picture of someone churning butter now, aren't you? Is it? Listen, in a metaphorical sense, it is referring to this. Are you ready? Let's break it down even more. It's referring to this, reviving or invigorating something that may have diminished or grown weak in your life. Literally, you want to know what it means? This is what it means. Let's break it down even more. It means something that once had a greater influence, you allowed to have less of an influence in your life. It's talking about influence. Say influence. My goodness. I'm telling you, this is deep stuff. In the New Testament, it is used to encourage Christians to rekindle their calling, rekindle the spiritual gifts in their life, and rekindle the fervor, the passion, the intense passion that you once had in your commitment to God and His calling on your life. That's what it's talking about. Stir it up. Fan that flame. Amen? So we are supposed to stir up the gift of God. God has given us all a calling and spiritual gifts that we are in charge of. Hello? He's given us a calling. He's given us a purpose. He's given us spiritual gifts that we are, I like to say it this way, we are supposed to be stewards of. Oh, come on, somebody. We are supposed to be stewards of it. In other words, God's given it to you, saying, go use it now for my glory. Go use it. I've given it to you. So a lot of times we're sitting around waiting for God, and God's saying, just fan the flame, and you'll notice the influence of my Holy Spirit will start to increase. The fire's going to get hotter and hotter. What does it mean the fire's getting hotter and hotter? You're going to notice. You're going to be moved by. You're going to speak through the Holy Ghost. You're going to be moved by the Holy Spirit in a greater way than ever before, because the Holy Spirit has a greater influence over everything you think, say, and do. Now listen to this. The Greek word that's translated gift, say gift, in 2 Timothy 1:6, You want to know what that word is? Okay, I'm going to tell you anyways. Here we go. It's the word charisma. Say charisma. Now, what is charisma, right? Charisma means this: a gift of grace or undeserved favor. Charisma means a gift of grace or undeserved favor. You want to know what it's really talking about? The deposit from heaven on the inside of you that you had nothing to do with it to earn it. That's why the Word of God says, stand strong in the grace. Because so many people think, well, I'm not worthy of this. I know you're not. But you have it, so use it. Why would you get caught up feeling these feelings of rejection and unworthiness? God says, you had nothing to do with it. But you have a heavenly deposit. Now go use it and advance my kingdom everywhere you go. It's like where God gave the angels charge over us. God says, all right, angels, go ahead, have charge. I don't believe God's directing every move of the angels. He said, go and take care of them. The angels, listen to this, angels have free will. Angels know when you have a need. Are you following me? So this is the same kind of thing where God says, I deposited all this spiritual gold in you. I'm giving you charge on this earth, authority on this earth. Now go use it for my glory. Amen. And when you start to use it, that's when the Holy Ghost says, that's when I want to jump right in the middle of that thing, and I'm going to flow through you. Amen? So it was freely given by God to us as Christians. It is, listen to this, it is a supernatural deposit, like I said, into our life. Listen to this. Now listen to me real close. That supernatural deposit came into our life in two different things. Number one, when you got born again, okay? Number two, when you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're separate. Did you catch that? The deposit came through two parts. You could say it this way. There's two deposits inside of you. All right? Born again and baptized with the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Let me help you out with that. When we got saved, when we got born again, the call of God came upon our life, and that was sparked within us. It's like the call of God was in you when you were an unbeliever in seed form. Say seed form. But when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, when you got born again, that seed went, boop, it's open now. So that's why when someone gets born again, they start to feel drawn to a ministry. You know what I'm saying? They feel called into the ministry. They feel that desire to do something for God. So that happens when you got born again. Congratulations, right? But here's the second deposit. The spiritual gifts don't come into our life as Christians until we receive the Holy Spirit baptism. Now listen to this. This is why Jesus said, you shall receive power or ability, come on, to fulfill your call when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Oh, my. It's a spiritual, supernatural power, an endowment, ability from the Holy Spirit, all right? It's a part of that charisma, say charisma, or gift that we receive to fulfill the will of God on this earth. That's why, listen to me, let me make this very clear. The Holy Spirit baptism is not optional. If God gave it to us, as God didn't just say, all right, all the charismatics, all the Pentecostals, the Holy Spirit baptism's for you guys. All you chandelier swingers, okay? The Holy Spirit baptism is for just you guys. All the Baptists, all the Lutherans, all the Methodists, all those other people, you're exempted out of it. He didn't say that. If he made it available, there's a great purpose for it, because that is when your spiritual gifts come on the inside of you. Amen? That is why, listen, what proof do I have? Listen to this. That is why you see so many frustrated Christians in ministry. Here's what's happening. They're trying to fulfill their call on their life without the Holy Spirit baptism, which is a second experience after getting born again. Here's what's going on. They're trying to fulfill their call without the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's going on. And the Holy Spirit, as I was writing this message, the Holy Spirit gave me this image of what he's talking about. He said this, it's like trying to hit a baseball without holding a bat. Are you following me? In other words, the person is in position at home plate. They're in position at home plate, but they don't have a bat to hit the ball with. They're in position. They're in a position in ministry, but they always get frustrated. Why? Because they're lacking the power of the Holy Spirit. They're lacking the gifts. See, the gifts, the calling was never made to be separate from the gifts. Hello, somebody. The gifts complement the calling. Amen. Now, are there some people that are doing some good things for the Lord without the Holy Spirit baptism? Absolutely. But here's what you got to understand. How much more? How much more could they be doing if they just were obedient to receive the second experience of the Holy Spirit baptism? Amen? So we need every bit of equipping and spiritual equipment that God has for us as Christians. Amen? Now, the other problem may be that you're born again, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? But here's what happened. You strayed from your calling. You have positioned yourself, you haven't positioned yourself to be used in the gifts on the inside of you from the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Here's what happened to a lot of Christians. You have lost awareness and consciousness of the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. And the gifts come from him as he wills, but you must be ready for them. Amen? There needs to be a consciousness. There needs to be an awareness. How many in here can tell me this? You know, after you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, you when you're ministering to other Christians and stuff, you have a pretty good idea what out of the 9 spiritual gifts you operate in. Can you raise your hand? You have a really good idea. Do you see that? So you can have an idea. So when you start to become aware and conscious, like me, I flow in the word of knowledge quite a bit. So I need, if my mind isn't focused on receiving that, I'm not gonna flow in that gift. Are you following me? But I'm tuned in, say tuned in, to the fact that that gift operates me pretty regularly. So when I'm tuned in, boom, I can. There's been meetings I went to, Joplin in Missouri, to a church and ministered. There's probably 150 people there. I stayed there till like 3 in the morning, and I was reading everyone's mail, prophesying in words of knowledge. Like almost everyone in the place. And so that's what I'm saying. You need to understand what are your spiritual gifts. Now, can the Holy Spirit use you in spiritual gifts that you're not used to? He can do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. But here's what I'm saying. You need to be aware. What are the, let's put it this way. What are the prominent spiritual gifts that you flow in pretty much on a regular basis? Amen? Y'all still with me? So a lot of Christians, they lose that awareness, that consciousness of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. All right? Those individuals have allowed the fire of the Holy Spirit or the influence of the Holy Spirit that was once raging on the inside of them to dwindle to a very small flame. And with very little Holy Spirit influence, that an influence that's barely noticeable in their life. That's why when you see a Christian or someone get born again, when someone truly has the born again experience, what are they like? They're wild. I just heard wild. They're wild. They're passionate. Oh, Jesus, you changed my life. Why? Because they're at a point where they have an influence. They have that awareness and a consciousness that something is different on the inside. But then you got people who come up and say, brother, sister, you need to tone it down a little bit. You need to add some. Come on, come on. some wisdom to that. So what happens? Eventually then, that fire starts to go down. That fire starts to wane. That influence that you once had, that time when, I mean, it's very, very common thing, right? What happened is the flesh has overtaken the influence of the Holy Spirit. The flesh has overtaken the influence of the Holy Spirit eventually. They're allowing too much of the world, too much of these negative things influence them, and it lessens the influence. Now their focus starts to get on things outside instead of the Holy Ghost on the inside. Amen? In fact, some of these people, they may be wondering, you know, if that flame, they might be saying, do I even have the Holy Spirit anymore? You ever got that place before where you're so backslidden? You were so backslidden, and you're like, you know, you're like David, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, right? Something, it's like, say influence. So the answer is that, is if someone's wondering that today, someone you feel so beaten down, you feel so pulled away, you feel so backslidden, and you're questioning, is the Holy Spirit even there still? Guess what? I got good news for you. He's still there. But he's a pilot light on the inside of you, not a flame. And you're the one that makes that difference. You notice that? So the answer is yes, he's still there. It's like that pilot light, but it's not big enough, it's not bright enough, it's not hot enough on the inside of you that it makes a difference. We need to get hot, amen? We need to get spiritually charged up, all right? So that is who the Holy Spirit is talking to today as well. He's calling you to rekindle. He's to rekindle and fan that spiritual flame on the inside of you. He's trying to tell you this, tune back into me again. Focus back on the word. Focus back on my spirit. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that God has not given him the spirit of fear or of cowardice or timidity, come on, but rather a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, right? So I want you to notice that a sound mind is the absence of giving into. What is a sound mind? It's the absence of giving into the influence of fear, the enemy, the flesh. Amen? It's all about influence. And it all starts in the thought life. Say thought life. All right? So to stir up your calling, to stir up, I like to say it, come on, your charisma. Say charisma. That's not just a Christian magazine. It's actually a spiritual truth. Amen. You must meditate. Listen, here's what you need to do, all right? To stir yourself back up, to get that little pilot light, a big flame again, where the Holy Spirit is a greater influence in your life, here's what you need to do. Let me make it very easy. You must meditate on your calling and giftings. Say meditate. The Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. He said, think back and remember when you were flowing in your calling and spiritual gifts. Remember how you felt. Remember the peace. Remember the joy of being in the perfect will of God. He said this, meditate on those things. How many of you back in the day, you remember times that were absolutely phenomenal with the Holy Spirit? You need to go back and meditate on those times. And it's going to get you back. It's going to stir something up on the inside of you. It's going to start to rekindle that flame. Amen? Now, here's the deal. Listen to this. Meditating on that, it's going to, like I said, rekindle and fan the flame on the inside of you. It will allow you, here's what's going on. It will allow you to tune back in to the Holy Spirit, all right? It will begin to rekindle that spiritual hunger, that desire in your heart to get back to that place of being influenced and moved by the Holy Spirit, all right? The Word of God has something interesting to say about desire in connection to desire and the gifts of the Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 here. I brought this up several times before, but it needs to be brought up in this message especially. Say meditate. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says this. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. All right? So it gives us instructions in connection to spiritual gifts. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost, but you feel like the Holy Spirit isn't even there anymore. You have not operated or flowed in the gifts in a long time. Well, we got some instructions right here from the Lord. Here we go. Number one, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Say desire. So here's what you got to understand about desire. Are you ready for this? You can only desire something that you are thinking about, here it is, on a prolonged basis. I guarantee you, anything you have a desire for in your life, it's not just a passing thought. You chewed on that thing in your thought life a lot. It's a desire. It's constantly on your mind. There was prolonged thought about that thing, right? So thinking about something on a prolonged basis, guess what that's called? Meditation. That's what meditation is. You're taking something and you're thinking about it on a prolonged basis. Again, desire means I gotta have this thing. I desire this thing. It's consuming your thought life. Amen? It's okay for something to consume your thought life if it's the right thing. Amen? We just got to make sure the right things are consuming our thought life, all right? So to think about something on a prolonged basis is called meditation. It's not just a passing thought. To have a desire for something means this. Let me break it down even more. To have a desire for something means that something grabbed your attention. Something grabbed your focus, and it has an influence over your life, and it influences. Are you ready? I like to say it. What you think, say, and do. Your whole life is wrapped up in those three things. What you think, say, and do. That where you are right now in your life is a product of what you think, say, and do. You are sowing and reaping from what you think, say, and do. Amen? I remember at Rhema, one of our teachers hammered that in us. Think, say, and do. That's your life right there. If something's out of order in your life, something's messed up on one or all of those things. Think, say, and do. You want to change your life? Change what you think, say, and do. Are you getting it? Do I got to go a little bit deeper? Isn't that powerful, though? You don't do anything. You don't say anything that first doesn't cross your thought life. Nothing. So some might say, yeah, I maybe blurt something out that I didn't think about. No, you thought about it. You just didn't think about it. Listen, in your conscious mind, you thought it came out of your unconscious, subconscious mind. Are you following me? And what trained the subconscious mind? All of the things that's happened to you in the past. Are you following me? Oh, this thing's so deep. It's so good. So the Word of God is powerful. Amen? So one of the reasons many Christians lose that fire is because they got distracted. Say distracted. From their calling, from their purpose, to focus on other things that they shouldn't have been involved in. Something jumped in the way between that think, say, and do process. Something jumped in the way of that process. It's like electricity. What is there? There's a circuit. Any electricians in here? There's a circuit, and then there's what? Direct current, right? Anybody? No one knows about electricity? All right, whatever. There's a short in the system somewhere with what you think, say, and do. That might be my next book I'm going to write. Think, say, and do. But something distracted a person to get them off of their calling and purpose from God. It was a shift of focus on distractions. I don't know, maybe painful situations from the past that you experienced that caused that fire to stop burning hot, to cut off that Holy Spirit influence. Think about this now. Amen? So there must first, what do you need to do then? There must first be a shift of focus back on your original calling. I don't know what God's calling me to do. I don't know. He didn't tell me to do anything new. Then go back to what he first told you. It's very easy. If he didn't give you new instructions, he's not done with the original instruction. Are you following me? Go back. Go back to the beginning. In fact, maybe you're so lost with that. Ask the Lord. Lord, I've gotten distracted. I've kind of gotten off course. What is my purpose and calling? Remind me. Ask him. Nobody knows it better than your creator. Amen. Listen, don't ever forget this. Are you ready for this? What you focus on, you give life and energy to. What you focus on, you give life and energy to in your life. If you never shift your focus, if you never shift your thoughts back on your calling and giftings, guess what's going to happen? You're never going to get back in the flow of your gifts and callings. Amen? You'll never get back into that flow of the Holy Spirit of your life. That's why you got to shift your focus. There needs to be a shift. Amen? Start remembering back to when you were in that flow. Get back. Just put your thoughts back into when you were in that flow. Take time. Lay down on a couch, on your bed. I don't care. Close your eyes and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to picture in your imagination those times when you were flowing. I guarantee you if you do that, if you seriously do that and focus on it, you'll start to feel an excitement again for it. You'll start to feel a hunger and a desire for those things again. Remember the amazing and powerful times that the Holy Spirit flowed through you. Now, here's the other reason. The other reason many Christians stop flowing in the gifts of the Spirit and their calling is simply this. We read it in here in 1 Corinthians 14. They stop walking in love toward others. Pursue love. Notice it doesn't say wait for it. No, it says go after it. Go after it. Even if someone's not coming after you, you go show them love. Pursue it. Think about that. Isn't that powerful? All right? So we need to make sure that we're walking in love. Here's what you got to ask yourself. There is no, if you're walking out of love, here's what's happening. I guarantee it. If you're out of love, there is no genuine concern and love for other people. What happens is you get self-focused. You're just, it's all about me. It's all about me. No, we got to get our eyes outside. In fact, ministry is about what? Getting your eyes on others. That's what it is. It's ministering. You're not ministering to yourself. You got to minister to others. Amen? So if you start to notice there's no genuine concern or love for others, your love has grown cold. And because of that, that spiritual flame has gotten real small and it's not even recognized anymore. That's why it says that in the last days, that the love of many is going to what? It says wax cold. What does that mean? It means the love is not going to have as big of an influence on you anymore toward other people. That's all that means. That's what cold means. Cold and hot. Say cold and hot. That just means cold, no influence. Hot, lots of influence. That's all that means. That's all that means. So you have changed, you could say it this way, I like saying it this way. You have changed to a different frequency from the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit always. You want to get back on the radio station where the Holy Ghost is? Listen, let me give you a little tip. The Holy Spirit is always on the love frequency. You will never miss the Holy Spirit if you stay tuned into the love channel, baby. Love Connection. Remember that show back in the day? Love Connection. Well, you feel like you strayed from the Lord? You feel don't feel that connection with the Holy Ghost? Change the channel. Tune back into love. He's always found in the love. And make that connection. Amen? So we must pursue love. The proper heart motivation toward helping people and building them up. We got to have that. Love is really about the about motivation. What's your motivation? Why do you want to help someone, right? Why do you want to speak in a local church as a minister? Do you just want to build your own brand, or do you really want to help people? Are you following me? All right. And we must desire spiritual gifts to operate in our life. So here's what the Holy Spirit said. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. He said this. They need to be both of those things need to be active in your life to flow in it. All right. Now, Timothy. Let's talk a minute about Timothy. Timothy, he got distracted by intimidation. Say intimidation. He was intimidated. He was told by many people, he was a young pastor, so he was told by many people, you're just too young, right? So what did that do? That made him feel intimidated to operate in his calling, right? All right, and here's what the Holy Spirit told me about Timothy, all right? Timothy took those negative words to heart, and he meditated on those words. Are you following me? There's some words you don't need to take to heart. Are you following me? There's a difference between hearing someone say something and a difference between meditating on it, and it grows roots in your heart. People were so negative. Timothy was speaking people were speaking negative to Timothy, and he allowed it to overtake his thought life, and it grew roots in his heart. So the apostle Paul had to say, hey, look, he had to encourage Timothy. He had to encourage Timothy. Listen to this. Are you ready? Not to be a coward. Not to be timid. Not to give in to that fear that would negatively influence him to back away from his gift and calling. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit was telling Timothy and all of us here today, if we will have the courage to not focus on fear, if we will have the courage to overlook fear, overlook negative influences, if we will walk and live in the power, love, and a sound mind, the Holy Spirit will step right into that, and he will push you through those things with his ability or power. We need the Holy Spirit's power, don't we? I mean, I can kind of see, Timothy was a pastor. Yeah, I could see where maybe he needed a little encouragement now and then. Are you following me? You hear a lot of things as pastor. Amen. So he needed that encouragement to say, hey, listen, don't back away from what you're doing. Stand strong. Keep advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. So we must stir up or rekindle or fan that flame of the charisma, the gifts, and the grace that's upon our life. Again, we must stand strong in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will not force you to do anything. Did you know that? The Holy Spirit will not force you to do anything. In fact, he will not force you to do anything to the point that you can go to hell and into the lake of fire for eternity. Are you following me? But it's the will of God that all should be saved, that none should perish. It's called free will. So the Holy Spirit will not force you to do anything. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, I need your cooperation. I need your cooperation. And that's why he told Timothy to stir up the gift. In other words, Timothy, if you don't stir up the gift and the calling in your life, there's nothing that God can do for you. If you're not going to stir up that gift, if you're not going to stir that calling up, you're going to stay exactly where you are. Are you following me? So we need to stir it up to be used. In other words, you got to have the influence of the Holy Spirit be up here again. Are you following me? All right? So stir them up. Stir them up in your thought life by resetting your focus. You got to reset it. It's a mindset thing. It's a mindset that nothing is going to stop me. Nothing's going to slow me down from operating in my calling and gift. Amen? Amen? It's a mindset that says this, come hell or high water, I will not retreat. I will not pull back. All right? Because you're going to have plenty of opportunities to have that in your life. Where things are going to come against you. We're like, I'm done. I'm out of here. No, no, no. Stay. Face that giant. Amen? I will not allow, you gotta determine this. I will not allow that spiritual fire to get cold on the inside of me or small. Amen? If we fail to possess courage in our life, we will never, let me say it again, we will never fulfill the will of God on our life. There must be courage. Now listen to this. A sound mind, say sound mind. A sound mind is connected to our self-control. Say self-control. Now, how many times when we hear self-control, we always connect it to not sinning, right? Oh, you got to have self-control not to sin. But the Holy Spirit showed me, so it goes beyond that. Self-control also means not giving into the negative influence of fear, cowardice, or timidity in our life. Self-control to do the positive works, not just not do the bad works. Self-control is doing the right thing, not just avoiding the bad thing. It works both. Are you following me? It goes both ways, right? So the Holy Spirit revealed something to me about David and Goliath. How many of you know that was a challenge, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit said this. Ready? How did David get through that with that? He said this. David stayed focused on his love and respect for God more than the circumstances in the natural realm that was standing up against the giant. David stayed focused on the greater calling and purpose, and that allowed him to bypass, push through, and overcome any fear that would try to influence him to be a coward in that situation. Are you following me? His love for God caused him to override any fear. It caused him to focus on God and not the giant, right? So when we stay focused on our high calling and purpose from God and not on the negative voices and the negative circumstances coming against us, fear, cowardice, and timidity have nowhere to land or take root in our heart, all right? So don't give that fear any real estate in your heart. Amen? In your thought. When I say heart, I'm not talking about this thing right here. No, I'm talking about your thought life. I'm talking about your imagination. I'm talking about what you're thinking about. When we talk about the heart, that's what I'm talking about, right? Because, now listen to this. The Holy Spirit gave me a little nugget to share with you guys today. Because we are made in the image of God, we are creators just like God created things. Now listen to this. I'm kind of taking a little rabbit trail. Is that all right? All right, listen to this. We create our reality by what we meditate on and by the words that we speak and by the decisions we make. We are constantly creating, listen, we are constantly creating our present reality. Isn't that amazing? In fact, we are creative by nature. God created us that way. There's a book that's called Dream with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to get into that creative process. Amen? We can create positivity or we can create negativity. With every thought, decision, by every action, by every word that we speak, we're always creating something in our life. You're shifting atmospheres, whether positive or whether negative, right? Now, when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow him, like I said, into that creative process, it will always manifest victory and the fulfilling of the will of God. Now, so we must maintain courage in the face of fear, right? We all agree on that? That it's a requirement for every Christian? Did I give you enough evidence? All right, right? The gavel's down on that. All right. But listen to this as I finish up. There will be times in the Christian's life when victory might not seem like a victory to us in the natural realm, but it's pleasing to God. Go, look at me, look with me to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. Look at 8 through 14 real quick here. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer. Say suffer. Suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him unto that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Right after it talks about God not giving us a spirit of fear or of cowardice or timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, tells us, are you ready for this? Listen to me. Not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. So the whole thing about fear, this whole context, is don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then ready. And then it goes on to say this. Are you ready? Or of his ministers. Listen to this. Fear, cowardice, and timidity will try to creep in to get you to stay silent about Jesus and stay silent with supporting ministers that are advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason many Christians stay silent is for what? Why would you stay silent? Yeah, you're avoiding persecution. How many of you here love persecution? Right? Not only are we not to stay silent about Jesus, but we are also supposed to help and be supportive of other believers and ministers that are promoting righteousness and the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, let me give you a little bit of an example, just on a personal level. When I was coming against the library during that time, I mean, yeah, well, obviously you guys were supportive, but I couldn't get any other pastors to join this bandwagon. Why? Want to know why? They didn't want the persecution. Are you following me? Maybe some people didn't show up to the meetings because they didn't want persecution. All right? Here we're standing up in this library to get pornography out of the children's and teen sections. Brother, sister, if that doesn't move you to action, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. By the way, there's a meeting. No, word from your sponsor. There's a library meeting. Is it this Monday at, I believe, 5 o'clock? And so people that are kind of help heading that up, they said, invite the congregation. We want as many people as possible at that meeting. So if you're able to go Monday, 5 o'clock, let's do it. Don't worry, if you can't make it, I'm not going to think you're a slacker. I'm not going to say that. But all right, but just be praying for that if you're not. But we want as many people to show up. You don't have to speak there. Just make your presence known. Amen? But here, the point that I'm trying to make is this. Persecution will surely come for standing up for the word of God and the will of God. Amen? And the Bible says that persecution is a symbol of, are you ready for this? You're blessed. Now, you see what I'm talking about? There's some victories that don't look like a victory in the natural realm, but it's pleasing to God. Amen? But it says there is a blessing for standing for righteousness' sake. It's pleasing to God Amen, but not to our flesh. So we must possess courage and faith that will not hide and not stay silent. Can you agree with that? So it's a requirement from God himself that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Courage in the face of persecution is a command, not a suggestion. Are you following me? It's a command, not a suggestion, and there's a blessing for it too. Amen? Why? You know what the biggest blessing is? Is that you can feel the joy of the Lord on the inside. You can feel the peace of God when you know you're standing for righteousness. When you know you're standing to protect those children from that junk. Are you following me? So again, courage means this, that fear is knocking on the door of your heart, but you're going to do the righteous thing anyways, despite of that fear, despite of that timidity, despite of that temptation to be a coward. Amen? So look at this. I'm on the last page. How about that? Merry Christmas, y'all. Now, you must get this revelation as a Christian. As a Christian, you possess the truth that every person needs to hear on the face of this earth. You believe that? You have that conviction on the inside of you? You have a truth that every person needs to hear. And here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready for this? He said your calling and your charisma or gifts that have been deposited on the inside of you, that's the mode of transportation to get that information to people around you. Think about that. That's powerful. So here's what I want to tell you to do. Get back to that place of getting in your calling. Get back. Let go of all the distractions. Let go of everything that would hold you back from letting that go. Do not take your mission, your calling, your purpose, your spiritual gifts lightly. Amen? Don't take them for granted. They are a gift from God. They are a gift from heaven. Amen? It's a matter of spiritual life and death. Amen? Awake and arise and have the courage to fulfill your divine purpose on this earth. People are waiting for you. Yes, I said you, not me, not Pastor James. They're waiting for all of you and you watching online around the world to get back in to your gifts and your callings. Amen? You have divine appointments waiting for you. Don't let them pass you by. Can you imagine getting to heaven one day and you're at the judgment seat and someone says, I wasn't saved because this person didn't tell me about Jesus. And then they're cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Think about that. So people are waiting for you to get back in your calling. Shift your focus off the negative and on the back on the positive. Fan the spiritual flame on the inside of you. Position yourself to flow in your gifts and callings. Don't back down. Get listen to this. Get planted where the Holy Ghost is calling you to be. And allow your roots to go grow deep into the rivers of living water and the wells of salvation. And it won't be long until you start to feel yourself getting revived. Amen? Get back to that peace and joy of your calling. It's time to stir up. It's time to rekindle. It's time to fan that flame, the calling and the gifts within you. Church, it's time to courageously stir up the gift. Let's stand up in this place. Now, prayer team, come forward. Hallelujah. Courageously stir up the gift that's inside of you. Don't let anyone take you away from that purpose. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You're not born again. Your purpose is in you, but that seed's still locked up. And you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life for that seed to go boom and crack open. If you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, you need to do it. Why? Because I don't want to see you in the lake of fire for eternity. If you never made Jesus Lord of your life, come down to this altar, and I want you to make Jesus Lord of your life today. Don't leave here without doing it. Now, the other part is this. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, maybe you're one that, you know what? I've strayed away from my callings. I strayed away from the gifts. And I don't have that peace. I don't have that joy in my life. and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. You want to rededicate your life to His purpose. You want to rededicate your life to the calling of God back on your life and flow in that. I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, great, you're saved. But you know what? The full package is also receiving the Holy Spirit baptism, where you receive power to carry out that calling. Don't be embarrassed of it. Amen? Come down, and they'll pray with you to do that as well. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down and do that. So God bless you all. Really meditate on what I said this week, and I believe the Holy Spirit is going to do a wonderful thing in your life. Amen? All right, God bless you all. Have a great week and normal schedule this week. So, yeah.